All right, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 8. And actually, I'm going to preach on a message I preached on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. I wasn't planning on doing it, but it just really kind of just, it kind of fits right here for now. So if I'm going to do it, this is a good week to do it. We're going through, I'll just kind of let you know my life. Just last week, my youngest son, Skyler, graduated from Broken Arrow High School, so that's the youngest one out of the house. Of course, you know I'm raising my granddaughter, so it's not like I really have my youngest one. I still have another one now, but anyway, he graduated, and of course we had, here on Sunday we had our high school, we honored all our high school graduates with the Rhema Study Bible, a Kenneth E. Hagin Legacy Bible, which is really really nice. If you haven't seen one, you need to go back up there and you need to get one. They're really, really nice. And so, like Dad said, we know that every senior that graduates from high school, a member of our church, gets a Bible. Whether they read it or not, that's up to them. But at least they have a Bible, and a really nice one. And so, whenever you graduate from high school, of course, we just had Rhema graduation as well, graduating from high school, graduating from college, a lot of people kind of think that they have their life planned out. Some people, they get their 5-year plan, their 10-year plan, their 20-year plan, and everything's always planned out. They're ready to go. They know what they're going to do. They're going to do this. They're going to do that next. Some people are going to, go to college. Some people are going to technical school. Some people are going to go, and we have some kids that said, I'm going to go here. I'm going to get my pre-med. Then I'm going to go here for medical school. Then I'm going to become a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor and a lawyer. Hopefully you're not going to do that. That's a long way to be in school. Plus you owe a lot of money. But people have everything all planned out. But interesting part about it, you get all these things planned out, then life happens. Because also this week on Sunday, actually, was my 12th wedding anniversary. Obviously, my youngest son's 18, and I've only been married 12 years, so obviously I've been married twice. Most people know that. Because life doesn't always go the way you plan it to go. And I was reflecting back on 12 years of marriage, and blending a family. If some of you know, or some of you maybe know, maybe don't know, we have 7 kids together. My wife has 4. I have 3. We have 6 boys, 1 girl. And so blending a family is not the easiest thing in the world. And man, life has happened a lot. I thank God for a good partner in life that's helped us. But while I was just thinking about life, thinking about different things, this scripture came to me in Deuteronomy 31:8. I'm just kind of telling you, this sermon came as a reflection of my life or my week, or sometimes when we think everything is going to happen the way we want it to happen because we just completed one task and moving forward to the next task, things happen. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." A lot of times when life happens and we get to a situation where we thought we would never be before. Many of you know, I got a son who's in prison right now. I thought it would never happen in my life. There's many times that things happen in life and you're like, God, why did this happen? God, why am I here? Are you even with me? Do you even care about me anymore? Anyone see the movie Home Alone? Sometimes you're in the middle of a pity party and you feel like I'm just home alone. Nobody cares. People don't care. Nobody cares. You're at a place that you never thought. When you graduated from high school, this was not your plan. This was not your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, your 20-year plan, your 100-year plan. You never planned this out. But that's the thing. Maybe we need to quit planning and start just following God's plan. A lot of times, one of our biggest problems is we're trying to plan everything out when God has a plan for our life. And almost every time that I pray, when I come to preach, I always pray that you'll fulfill God's plan for your life, not your plan for your life. And that could be the problem. Maybe you're on your own plan and your plan wasn't God's plan and God had a different plan. But the thing is, when life happens, when you feel like you're by yourself, when you feel like that nobody cares, and you feel like like, man, I don't know how I got here. Remember, God is still with you. Now, I like what he says right here. He says, he is the one that goes before you. Now, when you think about that, that means that before you got into that situation, God was already there. He was already there. You know, it might have surprised you that you got in that situation, but it didn't surprise him. And he was already there preparing a place to help you through your situation. He knew that you were going to go through that time when you weren't feeling like you need to feel. When you had a loss in your family or when situations, things happened that you didn't know what to do, but God was going to be there. God is there. He's always there. He goes before us. So before you get there, he's there. You know, and that really helps your perspective when you think about, you know what? This didn't surprise God. And sometimes you're going to have to tell yourself when you get some kind of news, maybe you had a great day at work and you come home and all of a sudden, boom, some bad news slaps you on the face. And you're thinking, I never expected this. Remember, it didn't surprise God. It doesn't surprise God. And if it doesn't surprise God, that means he's already prepared a place and prepared a way for you to get through it. Amen. And maybe at this point in time, you're trying to figure out, how am I going to get through this? How is this going to happen? I mean, how is things going to be normal again? You know, because God is God. You know, and sometimes when you sing that song, God is good, God's God on the platform and all that kind of stuff, but he's God in your life. Going on, he says, he will be with you. That means he's not going to leave you. And it says, he will not leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you. God will never leave you by yourself. So quit singing your song, you know, all by myself or whatever. He's not leaving you there. I don't care how you feel. All right. Remember, you know, we always talk about we're not moved by how we feel. So when you feel you're all by yourself, remember, you're not. That's just the devil trying to lie to you and telling you you're all by yourself and that nobody cares. And I got it. There are sometimes you go to situations and your friends abandon you. Then you wonder, well, they're really my friends. You know, I mean, they abandon you so much, they don't even want to be your friend on Facebook. I mean, click to unfriend. I don't want to be associated with that guy. Now, it doesn't matter who abandons you. I don't care if it's your friends, your wife, your kid. I don't care who abandons you. God will never abandon you. In fact, the Bible clearly says that nothing or no thing can separate us from the love of God. God loves us no matter what we do. That means no matter what we've ever done or what we'll ever do. You know, because a lot of times we get in our own situations, it's our fault a lot of times. All right, you know, I know we want to blame somebody else, but most of the time it's probably our fault we got in that situation. All right, but he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're never going to be home alone. You realize as long as you're a born-again Christian, you're never going to be home alone. God is always with you. He'll never leave you. But the most important thing is, into this verse, it says, do not fear nor be dismayed. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. A lot of the problem is we begin to fear, we get afraid, and when we get afraid, we let the devil dominate us. We can't hear from God because fear begins to leap. And it's really easy whenever you got news that you never thought you'd hear before, and you're thinking, this might not work out. I don't see how, because you know there's many times that you don't see how things are going to work out, and you know sometimes you have to go to the verse of things that are impossible to men are possible with God. With God, all things are possible, and the Bible says only believe. You know, because a lot of times you're thinking, well, I don't see how. Well, it's not for you to see how; it's for you to believe. Amen. Only believe. Now, reading this from the New Living Translation gives us even some more insight, some insight I really like. It actually never even seen before. It starts out on this. It says, do not be afraid or discouraged. So the first thing we have to do is not fear. You know, it's kind of interesting. They say that if you ever have a heart attack, and this is medical news will help you. If you ever feel you're having a heart attack, the best thing you can do is relax. Amen. I mean, that's what it says. The best thing you can do is relax. Because the more uptight and the more fearful you get, the worse it gets. So you know what? I just came to, and if you ever get attacked, just relax. In life. You're like, well, but it's hard to relax, you know, because all your mind's screaming, you know, you're thinking. Well, quit thinking then. If you're having trouble, quit thinking. In fact, the Bible says, think on these things whatsoever are things are good and just and honest. And think of those things. If you have to think about anything, think about God. Think about Jesus. Think about what he did on the cross. Amen. You know, that might be things. So first thing, do not be afraid or discouraged. People say, well, I'm not afraid, you know, but they're like, you know, nothing's ever working out. Well, number one, you can have what you say you can have. If you say you can't do it, you're not going to be able to do it because you can have what you say. It's interesting how sometimes it will take a, you know, we'll, when it comes to faith, we'll say one thing, but when it comes to other things, we don't think about it. But you know what, you can have what you say. So quit being discouraged. Quit discouraging yourself. You have the devil bad enough that he's trying to discourage you, so why don't you just discourage yourself? You know, maybe you need to quit hanging around discouraging people. That's another thing. Sometimes people are discouraging, you know, and now we live in a virtual world, so not only do you have friends that are discouraging, you have virtual friends that are discouraging that live around the world. I mean, you know, they can discourage you on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You know, you put a picture, a selfie of yourself, and they put discouraging things on your selfie. Looks like you gained a lot of weight, you know. I wouldn't put that on there if I were you, and all these things. So anyway, but it goes on to say, and I like this part, it says, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. Now, the reason I like this is personally, because, you know, a lot of times we put God as a generic God. I mean, God is our God, and I understand that. And let's use a probably bad example, but I'll use them. Santa Claus. All right. Do you realize Santa Claus, he comes to the mall, you know, and he's everybody's Santa Claus. He's the same. You know, everybody has the same Santa Claus. But see, God's not like that. He's your personal God. He's just not delivering good things to everyone. He's personally delivering good things to you. He's your Father. And see, a lot of times we see God as a generic God who loves everyone, and he does. But we need to see God as our Father. That personally is there for us. Now, in my situation, I know I have great parents and grandparents who are personally there for me when I was going through some tough times. And my grandparents have gone to be the Lord, but my parents have always been there for me, you know, with me. But see, my personal God is also there with me and for me. Amen. And so sometimes, you know, because our relationship with our earthly father, it does affect our relationship with our heavenly father. Maybe if your dad isn't around, or your parents aren't around, you know, and you're not used to that. But man, you know, my parents, they love me. My dad loves me. I can ask my dad for anything. And he'll, if he has the wherewithal, he'll do it. That's how my Heavenly Father is. And so I thank God for a relationship with my father like that, because it's helped me with my Heavenly Father. No, I can ask him for anything. And unlike my earthly father, my Heavenly Father, it's limitless what he can do. Amen. You realize that there's nothing that God cannot do? There's no problem that he can't get through, and there's nothing that ever surprises him. So you know, once again, it goes back to, why should I fear when I have God on my side? You know, and I know we sing songs, you know, about God being on our side, blah, 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 but do we really think that whenever we're going through our issue? Because if we think that, we sure don't act like that, because why are you having fear when you have God on your side? I mean, you have the guy who can't lose. All right. And I mean, you know, but we don't think about those kind of things because, you know, what happens is our mind is so busy thinking about our situation. And we get to a point where, you know, they say in the world, you can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, you can't see the end because there's so much things going around about you. And that's when you have that's why the Bible talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, we have to understand that, you know, that in essence, once Jesus came, we've already won. But he says he will personally go ahead of you. Personally. Amen. And I want you to think more all the time about a personal God. The God's, you know, because I understand, you know, you think about in the world that we live in, you know, we all have different fathers. I have a father, you have a father, they're different fathers. All right, you know, when it comes to the spiritual world, we all have the same Father, the Heavenly Father. But we need to think about him that he's also there for us in our, you know, he's part of our family. And if we'll think differently, I think we'll act differently. And that's the deal. We need to think about that God personally loves us that much. That, you know, if it was only you on the face of the earth, now that would be kind of boring. But if it was just you, that God loves you so much, he still would have sent Jesus.
Amen.
Just for you. Because he loves you that much. And that's a personal God. And we don't think about it as a person. Our minds don't really go there. We can think about a generic God. It's not a generic God. It's a personal God. He goes on to say, he says, he will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So you know what? You know, because sometimes people can not fail us, they'll just leave us, but I mean, he's not going to fail. Our God never fails. All right? And so if he's already gone before me, he's already helping, he's already working on that situation, and he's not going to fail, then why am I worried? Why am I upset? Why am I afraid? I'm only afraid and worried and upset because I don't have faith in my own God.
That's right. Awesome. Amen.
Now we speak a lot about faith here. Faith for healing, faith for finances. But how can you have faith in your own God? Now, many of us say, well, of course I have faith in my God. You do, but you don't act like it. And I'm not trying to tell you, I'm not better than you are. We've all done this. We've all been there. Had our own pity party. You know, got home alone, crying, upset, you know, put on the sad music. You know, but in a lot of ways, it's because we don't have faith in our own God. Because we're like, but this is a very hard situation. So? It's a hard situation. Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that our God's not able. Our God is able. And, you know, but we get afraid. Now, obviously, we all know, and you've heard me preach it many, multiple times, it's because of John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his goal in life is to destroy you, your family, your dreams, everything he can. You know, he wants to destroy your plan, or even God's plan.
That's right.
Ultimately. I mean, ultimately, so much he's trying to destroy God's plan, so much that he tempted Jesus himself. Now, of course, also Jesus came back with, it is written.
Amen.
And if you don't know what's written, it's pretty hard to come against the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you, but which means if you don't resist him, he's not fleeing.
That's right.
Many people want to know why the devil's on the attack all the time, because you're not resisting.
Mm.
It's pretty easy. Best thing you can do is resist. The best way to resist him is read the word. And find out what the word is and quote him the word. I quote the word of the devil all the time.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I guess I'm, you know, might be different, but I talk to the devil quite a bit. You know, when things are not going on, I tell him that he has no authority.
Right.
He has no power.
Right.
I tell him what the word says.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, thank God for my grandfather who taught us to, he always said, I'm a stickler for the word. What does the word say? We have to know what the word says. And he said the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't know what the word says. But if you know what the word says, then really it's kind of your fault for not using the word. You're not using something that belongs to you. You know, now let's look in the New Testament. You know, also has these scriptures. I'm over in Hebrews. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, and we'll start with verse number 5, reading from the New King James here. And these are kind of some of the same scriptures. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things for such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, you know, he says that I will never leave you nor forsake you, back in verse number 5, once again. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. But then it says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And what can man do to me? See, man have no, they have no real power. And ultimately, what many of these folks in the New Testament are saying, Paul said to die was far better. So ultimately the only thing they could do is kill you and send you to heaven. Which is not really a bad prize for dying, all right? But the thing is, we shouldn't fear what people can do. Especially when we know who our God is. And here, of course, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to remember that, sometimes it's sad that we go through situations that we overcome. A few years down the road, we get in a similar situation, and we start having a pity party again. What am I going to do now? But a few years ago, you knew what to do. You don't remember what happened last time. Now, some of you might know, I've been having some kidney issues again. But 2 years ago, I went through the same thing. I knew what to do. We battled it. We went to remission, and it came back. So what am I doing? The same thing I did before? Obviously. Disease cannot live in my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What the Bible says. The Bible says that I was healed. It says 2,000 years ago that I was healed. And so when we remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's why I like to go back to the old time Bible stories. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, David and Goliath, because those were impossible situations. All right? And they're not like a fairy tale. They actually happened. Now, this is what we have to understand, because some people nowadays are like, did that really happen? Of course it did. Why did it happen? Because we have a great God. And the fiery furnace, it says, there's four guys in the fire, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. So, remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's always with you. When you're in your own fiery furnace, whenever you're in your own lion's den, whenever you're in your own, jail cell like Paul and Silas were. No matter where you're at, he's with you. And he went before you, knowing that you would be there, knowing the answer, knowing that you would get through, as long as you trust in him. That goes to the verse, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen. I quote those verses on a daily basis. That's why I know them so well. Because I just trust in the Lord. Because sometimes I don't know why this happened. There's things in life, especially as a minister, people ask you, they'll say, well, Craig, do you know why this happened? And sometimes I get to a point, I don't know. But the Bible says it this way, we see through a glass darkly. We only get half the picture. We don't have the full picture. And so sometimes, I don't know why this happened. Some of us say, I've heard people say, I don't see how God would let that happen. So I point out and said, I'm real big on law and law shows and things like that. In a court of law, they want to bring the whole picture in. They want to bring in both sides of the story. And let the judge or the jury rule when they see the entire picture, all the evidence. Here's the deal. We're trying to make judgments on things only seeing part of the evidence because we only see part. Where God sees the whole picture, the full picture. And so sometimes we're wondering, well, why this happened? Why that happened? I don't know. So I have this theory. You know, there's a list that I've made up that I figure once I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. But after I get to heaven, I probably won't care. But I know that my grandfather always talked about. He said, you know, I'm just going to file it away, never touch it again in a thought life. The Lord told my grandfather that. But you know, because I'm going to not let that affect me. Because there's sometimes that you know, I only have part knowledge. I don't know everything. I mean, you know, all I have is what God has told me, what's in the Word, and what I can find out on Google. You know, and a lot of things on Google aren't correct. You know, just because you read on the internet does not make it true. I just want to let everybody know. I mean, I know most people don't know that. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, most of the media doesn't know that anymore. Anyway, so I want to leave you off with one more scripture over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse number 17, I'm going to go ahead and read it for time's sake. It says, "The weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, saith the Lord." I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation. It says it this way. "But in the coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken." You know, there's going to be many weapons formed against you, and the Bible clearly says that no weapon formed will prosper. So when you're having a all of a sudden things happen, you never thought it was going to happen. You said, well, you know what? There's one of those weapons. But the Bible clearly says it's not going to prosper.
Amen.
All right? And it says this, it says, and New Living says, "No weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord." It's one of my benefits of being a child of God, that weapons cannot succeed. They can be formed, but they can't succeed. And that's what we have to understand. There is a difference between something being, you know, coming against you and something that being succeeding. All right. And so, I just trust the Lord. You know what? It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm not moved by what it looks like. I know who my God is. I know it can't succeed because, you know, with God, I cannot fail. You know, it says their vindication will come from me. The Lord's going to vindicate me. It's going to be okay. Every time I go through a situation where I feel that I'm home alone, I feel I'm by myself, I feel that I never thought I'd get here, all of a sudden on the inside of me, it comes up, it's going to be okay. Why is it going to be okay? Because I know my personal God is already on this situation. He's already went before me. It never surprised him. He's been with me the whole time. You know, you say, God didn't take us this far to let us down. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for this, for me to go through this situation. You know, and so there's so many times, it's really what we think about. But here's the biggest point in the whole message. You know, we can preach messages like this, everyone gets all excited, you know, this is awesome, and this is great, you know, I need this or whatever. But then the next time you come to the situation where you feel all by yourself and you feel home alone and all this stuff, you forget what I just said. Because your memory's not. So the thing is, you need to file this away, and whenever it comes to your next time, whenever you had a good day, you come home from work and all of a sudden you open the mail and find out you're being sued for $2.8 million or something like that. Hopefully not, I don't know. Or your kids call you with news that you thought you'd never hear before and all kinds of stuff, or whatever happens, that you'll remember that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll remember that God's gone before you. Remember, you know, your personal God is on the case. You'll remember these things. You'll remember the first thing you shouldn't do is fear. You'll remember you should just relax. See, you know, that's the most important part. The most important part is not hearing a message. It's using the message whenever you need it. And that's the bad thing about it. A lot of times we preach great messages, but all of a sudden when you need it, you don't think about it. Maybe because you're too busy running around in the church whenever you heard the message, you know, and you didn't really hear the message. So, but the thing about it is, we need the Word. That's why we have to know what the Word says. I mean, all we did today was just read Scriptures. That's all I ever do is read Scriptures. Read Scriptures because, you know, God's Word is good enough. I don't need somebody giving me a word. I have plenty of words, you know, from the Lord that are right here in the Bible. You know, and if you can't use the words you have, why do you need new words? I mean, sometimes I've wondered, I've heard people that said, well, I just need a word, I need a word. Well, read the Word and you won't need a word. There's plenty of words. You know, but the biggest word is, you can make it, you'll get through it, it'll be okay. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Amen. Not me, myself. Your personal God is with you. I mean, think about it. You have a personal God. This is awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person today. And we thank you, Father, for their life. But Father God, we thank you that most of all, the next time they go through a situation that, man, life just happened. They weren't planning on it. They didn't know what happened. But they get to a place that they feel by themselves. They feel that nobody cares. They feel that there is no hope. That you'll be able to, on the inside, show them, you know what, it's going to be okay. Show them, you know what, it'll all work out. This is only a weapon coming against us, but it's not going to prosper. We thank you, Father, for each and every person here, and we thank you that you're helping them and helping them live the life that you have for them. We thank you, Father, helping them to live your plan and not their plan. And we thank you that each and every day, as they walk, as they wake up, that you're with them, you're leading them, you're guiding them, you're showing them the way. And Father God, we just thank you for their lives. And we thank you, Father, for great things to come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up.